IBU has about 120 organisations, which are members. We don't have any individual members. Individuals join local, national vegetarian societies, and those societies come together to form IBU. We're everywhere, all around the world. We've got members in all countries. As for the benefits, it's about sharing. Groups don't join IBU for what they can get out of it. They join for what they can share. It's about being in contact and about working together.
Good day to you, honourable viewers, and welcome to part two of our three-part feature on the International Vegetarian Union and the venerable history of vegetarianism. For the past 100 years, the world's largest vegetarian organisation, the International Vegetarian Union, has worked to raise public awareness about the humane, healthy and sustainable plant-based diet. The non-profit organisation's activities include holding World Vegetarian Congresses, building vegetarian societies in various countries, arranging local events with vegetarian and vegan food, launching VeggieTV, and publishing and persuading other groups and government institutions about the necessity and environmental benefits of this cruelty-free lifestyle. On part one, we met Mr. John Davis, esteemed manager, historian, and webmaster of the International Vegetarian Union.
Hey, I'm John Davis. You're watching me on Supreme Master Television. Be veg, go green to save the planet.
A pioneer in utilising the internet to promote vegetarianism in the mid-1990s, Mr. Davis developed an online network of all vegetarian societies and collected some 10,000 historical files of vegetarianism on the IBU website. Through Mr. Davis's extensive knowledge, we also learned about the ancient roots of vegetarianism, documented since 6th century BCE.
In the East, vegetarianism continued as Hindu and Buddhist, and it stayed that way for many years. In the West, by the end of the 19th, early 20th century, there were huge numbers of vegetarians in Europe.
Today we will explore how this noble way of living has evolved and progressed in contemporary times.
We're getting vegetarian societies which include people from many different religions. The Indonesian Vegetarian Society is a really good example of that, because they started as a Maitreya Buddhist group. And then they changed to a vegetarian society, and they deliberately encouraged Christians, Muslims and everyone to come and join them. And they now have a society which includes everyone.
Surprisingly, the term vegetarian was unheard of until the mid-19th century. Prior to this, those who subsisted on a plant-based diet were called Pythagoreans, a tribute to the renowned Greek philosopher and mathematician who promoted this compassionate lifestyle. According to research done by Mr. Davis and colleagues, a small group of people living in England, UK, were the first to use the term vegetarian in the early 1840s.
Historically, there's been a lot of debate over the last 100 years of where the word vegetarian came from, who first thought of it, and because we know that it wasn't around before the 1840s. The word didn't exist. Last summer we did some research, mainly using Google Books, because Google have now scanned 10 million books on their website. We can now go through all of them and find the word vegetarian, simply by doing an online search. And what we have now proved conclusively, that before 1847, the word vegetarian was only being used by one small group of people, and they were at a school called Alcott House, which was on Ham Common, just southwest of London. And they were the first people to call themselves vegetarian. The school opened in 1838, and the word vegetarian first appeared in their journal in 1842, in a way which suggested they were already familiar with it from the previous few years. And from 1842 for the next 5 years, people closely associated with Alcott House were the only ones who were calling themselves vegetarian. There were other people around the rest of the UK and the rest of the world who described themselves as following a vegetable diet.
Those who were connected with the Alcott House were in fact pure vegan, long before the word vegan was even coined. They were also the first group of people who adopted the idea of a vegetarian society.
They lived entirely on plant foods and water. No eggs, no dairy. They didn't even drink tea and coffee. Just, they grew their own fruit and vegetables and they had other plant foods and they drank water. So they were what we now call vegan. But they called themselves vegetarian.
Individuals from the Alcott House soon collaborated with another vegetarian group from Manchester, UK, called the Bible Christian Church. From there, the first known vegetarian society was formed in 1847. Mr. Davis explains how the original concept of the animal-free vegetarian diet was thus altered to include dairy and eggs.
In 1847, they joined with another group from Manchester, the Bible Christian Church in Manchester, who were following what they called the vegetable diet. So when the two got together and formed the Vegetarian Society, the year after the society started, the Manchester group had one man in particular who was very wealthy. So basically he took over. He kept it going. But of course his version of vegetarianism was with eggs and dairy. So gradually that became the norm. In 1875, there was a formal proposal to change the name of the Vegetarian Society to the Food Reform Society, to avoid the word vegetarian, because everybody was confused about what it meant.
With differing opinions on what should constitute a vegetarian diet, a group of 25 individuals, led by Donald Watson, created the world's first vegan society. Mr. Watson, who lived until the ripe age of 92, and who was a vegetarian for over 80 years and a vegan for more than 60 years, is credited for inventing the word vegan.
By 1944, another group within the society wanted to form a non-dairy section within the Vegetarian Society to be different. And their first journal was November 1944, which explains how they invented the word vegan by taking the beginning and the end of vegetarian. And vegan was absolutely no animal products at all. No eggs, no dairy, no honey. And of course they included all the ethical issues of not using animals for entertainment or labour. And we know that back in the 1840s in Alcott House, they also took that view, the same ethical view. So in every sense, the first vegetarians were in fact vegan. Gradually, by the 50s, they started building up. And then in the 1960s, of course, we've got the hippies, who made a big difference, and it all sort of developed further.
By the 1980s, as people became more aware of the negative environmental impact of a meat-based diet, the number of vegetarians rose in tandem. Religion also played a strong role in disseminating the ideals of a kinder way of eating and living.
In the West, it changed in the 1980s, and the Green Movement had a big impact, and people became much more conscious of the environment. And once they start thinking about the environment, they start thinking about where their food's coming from. And certainly in the 1980s in Europe and North America, there was a big change, just public opinion generally, became much more concerned about the environment. And once you start doing that, then it does spin off into food. And we saw a huge increase in the number of vegetarians in the West in the 1980s. And that made a very big difference to us. But certainly, groups like Hare Krishnas in the West, yes, they're part of it.
The Hare Krishna movement was founded in the US in 1966 by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. His teachings echoed Hindu wisdoms in that all animals are sentient beings. He advocated vegetarianism as a practice of ahimsa, or non-violence, and serving God through daily spiritual practice. Perhaps one of the greatest tools of information exchange ever invented is the internet. With its popularization beginning in the 1990s, it became increasingly convenient for anyone seeking updated resources about vegetarianism. The internet has also made it easier to connect with like-minded others, and it has thus facilitated this global movement of plant-based advocacy.
Really, in the last 15 years, and I think it's mainly because of the internet, is in the East and East Asia, we're beginning to see vegetarian societies being formed and vegetarian organizations, which simply weren't there before. The main media now is the internet. That is how most vegetarians and vegans are communicating with each other. The internet is having a huge impact. There are printed magazines and journals. They tend to specialize in food cookery and recipes, and those sell quite well. And a lot of societies that were publishing their own journals have now stopped doing that, and they put everything on the website instead. They do it all on the internet. There are various TV channels, including SMTV, and there are vegan radio channels. I did an interview for one in San Francisco earlier this year. There are more and more channels like that developing on the internet, showing videos, TV programs, and that is having an impact, and I think we'll see a lot more of it in the future. And SMTV seems to be the biggest. You're everywhere in the world. But yeah, we get it in the UK as well. It's a very positive thing, and I think it's great that you're doing this, and that you're spreading information about vegetarianism around the world.
With positive trends of conscientious consumers and ethical eaters, vegan restaurants are also dotting the globe with more frequency, making a great statement of how creative and tasty plant-based cuisine can be. A good example is Loving Hut International. With over 230 locations opened in less than 3 years, Loving Hut is the fastest growing family of vegan restaurants in the world. Its concept was inspired by Supreme Master Ching Hai's wish to avail healthy, delicious and affordable cruelty-free cuisine for all to enjoy.
Of course, the Loving Huts are the biggest of that too, and they're opening fast. Everywhere I've been this year, a Loving Hut seems to appear after I've been there. Alongside that, you've got Hare Krishna's, and they have Govinda restaurants, and I think there are about 60 of those in 30 different countries. And a lot of, apart from those, there are a lot of the Hare Krishna temples have vegetarian restaurants. I was in one last week in Nairobi in Kenya, a Hare Krishna restaurant by the temple. All the food completely vegan. And they're doing a great job of spreading this around. There are smaller chains, and there are thousands and thousands of individual independent restaurants, vegetarian and vegan, all around the world.
With the environment and climate change at the forefront of discussions and worries these days, the ethics of food production and eating a more sustainable diet, i.e. a plant-based diet, have likewise been hot topics.
Vegetarianism has become increasingly mainstream. We've had several politicians recently in the West who have said that they've been vegetarian for some time. They never told anyone before because they thought they wouldn't get elected if they tell people they're vegetarian, but now they can say it's because of climate change and they're saving the planet, so now it's okay for politicians to be vegetarian as well. So it does make a big difference when people think about the environment and about the impact on the climate, and certainly there are a lot of people because of that who are at least eating less meat, even if they don't go all the way, they are reducing the meat consumption because of that. If you take the four reasons for going vegetarian, you have religion, animals, health, and the environment. And those are the four main reasons. If you then take away religion, those other three, animals, health, and the environment, are still there. They remain, and they remain important.
A rising consciousness, concerns about animal welfare, and the urgency of climate change are ushering in a new era of where the lofty ideals of a vegan planet are becoming a reality. For more information on John Davis and the International Vegetarian Union, please visit www.ibu.org. Precious viewers, thank you for your company today on our noble lineage. We welcome you back April 17th for the finale of our three-part feature. We will hear about the recent exciting activities of the International Vegetarian Union in advancing this venerable history of vegetarianism. Between Master and Disciples is coming up now on Supreme Master Television. May God bless the planet and her benevolent citizens with ever more peace and abundance.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/NL.